While my presentation is loading, I would first say thank you all for coming to this session. But also, when you mentioned structurally deficient bridges, I'm going to be talking some about goods movement and big rig trucks that carry containers around the country. And we may be fixing those structurally deficient bridges, but with the heavy-duty trucks and the increase of them all over the country, bridges are going to be falling apart much more rapidly, and that needs to be kept in mind in terms of cost-benefit of international trade. And also, I'll be addressing some of the projects that reduce emissions from trucks and trains, trucks and trains, I guess you said, and some of the issues that we have with regard to goods movement. Okay. I work with the Southern California Environmental Health Sciences Center, which is funded by the National Institute of Environmental Health Science. And we have a number of scientists who do research on environmental health, many of them engaged in doing air pollution research, and with a lot of interest these days on looking at near roadway emissions. My role is to translate the scientific results from those scientists to the public, and I see that in our area as working with community-based organizations to help them understand the science and to help them build their own capacity to participate in research with us, but also street science that they can do on their own, with the ultimate end of our trying to inform public policy or these ensuring that the community groups have the capacity to understand the science and that when they are informing public policy around transportation and health issues, that they have a good scientific background. So I'm really focused on air pollution and the transportation and health connections with air pollution. So, of course, we have regional pollution, and I don't know how many of you know that the monitors that are set up by EPA to measure pollution are specifically set up in areas that are not near refineries, that are not near highways, so that they give you a good general view of what the air pollution is like. So that's meant that we haven't really been measuring what the pollution is like near roadways. And that, in fact, we're finding with our studies at USC and UCLA and elsewhere now around the country and world that there are higher levels of pollutants near busy roads and freeways and near other places where there's lots of traffic. So near ports, near rail yards, near warehouses. And I'm going to be focusing a lot on that the role of goods movement and movement of containers that come in through international trade, especially from Asia. And we have learned from our studies at USC, and now there are a lot of studies around the world. Some of these studies actually first started in the Netherlands, that living close to traffic is associated with an increased risk of asthma, decreased lung function in children, and there are emerging studies with children looking at whether if a mother lives near a busy road when she's pregnant or near a freeway, is her child more likely to develop asthma, autism later. And we're also concerned about adults, of course, and there are a number of studies, not as many of these are from our university, but increased rates of cardiovascular disease and stroke from studies around the world, but for people who live close to busy roads. Emerging studies looking at whether or not obesity and diabetes shows some kind of link to near roadway impacts, and also cognitive decline. One of our scientists is looking at the potential for near roadway exposures to be related to Alzheimer's and other cognitive issues. And then also women living near busy roads when they're pregnant, what other kinds of adverse birth outcomes might they have, like premature babies or low birth weight. Diesel's been mentioned, and California has a lot of regulations on diesel because diesel was named a toxic air contaminant in 1998 based on studies of occupational health studies of railroad workers and truck drivers. So again, in the goods movement industry, when we have ships and railroads and trucks that are moving things around with using diesel fuel, we recognize that if the workers are at risk, the people near those vehicles are also at risk. So we're looking at freight transport when we talk about goods movement. And I guess the reason why...
Could you hand me that glass right here? Oh, the glass.
Uh-huh. Sorry. I guess the reason why Los Angeles and Long Beach has such a push both academically and with community-based organizations working on the issue of international trade and goods movement is that our ports in LA and Long Beach are the largest ports in the United States. And if you were to combine LA and Long Beach, it would completely go off the chart compared to what the size of the rest of the ports in the U.S. So I'd like to look at one case example, and this case is of Wilmington West Long Beach, where a rail yard is being proposed and where there's already a rail yard. And one of my concerns is that when we're looking at the transportation bill, that we really be thinking about these near roadway impacts, and that we, if we are pressing for more rail as a way to reduce emissions from trucks, that we really think about where the rail yards are placed. And the impacts that they can have on people's homes. So if you look at this container ship, every one of those boxes has to end up on either a truck or a train to get to its destination. And in LA Long Beach, you know, half of that stuff that you see on that ship is going someplace else in the country, often towards Chicago or Kansas City. And with freight rail, you've all heard the radio commercials and the ads that say, you know, freight rail works and railroads are the most environmentally sound way to move freight. So that may very well be true. But if you are, oh, here's another one of the CSX ads. We don't share the highways, but we can make them more enjoyable to drive. More freight on our rails means less congestion on our highways. How tomorrow moves, CSX. Well, it's not all that open highway when we're talking about rail. It's often the smoke. This house has a rail yard immediately behind it. That's in the City of Commerce in California. And the smoke that you're seeing actually isn't even coming from a train. It's coming from some of the cargo handling equipment that is putting the containers onto the trains. And rail yards are very polluting. They can create high diesel cancer risks based on studies that have been done in California by the California Air Resources Board. And most of the rail yards in California, at least, are sited in communities right near homes, right near and right near schools. So here we have, you know, an intermodal way. Intermodal is moving something between one mode of transportation to another. You can see the yellow is where a school is located, and in front of the grass is a park. And those are trucks that are heading up to an existing Union Pacific facility, a rail yard. I should tell you that the community that existing rail yard is in is already disproportionately exposed. There are there's air pollution from the ports, which are 4 miles away from the freeways, the 710 freeway 1 mile away, rail yard operations a quarter of a mile from the school, and refineries that are 1/2 mile from the school. This is what it looks like for the kids playing on their playground. There is a chain link fence that separates the kids from that truck, so you shouldn't really worry about their safety. They're actually really protected, but you can see the cumulative impacts that they have, and you know, there's a steady stream of trucks like that. So we've actually worked together with a number of community-based organizations. These women are from the Long Beach Alliance for Children with Asthma. You might know them as promotoras in other situations. They're lay health workers who help to educate the community and do community organizing work. So we've worked with them, and we've also pulled together a broader coalition called the Impact Project. Bob Gottlieb is here from Occidental College. If you raise your hand, Bob. And we have four community-based organizations, EJ groups that are working on this issue, funded by NIEHS, the California Endowment originally, now the California Wellness, and the Kresge Foundation. David Fukuzawa is in the room. Thank you, David. And what we've done is to try to work with some of these people in these community groups to teach them about particulate matter and about the health outcomes so that they can actually do some of the work themselves. Here you have one woman carrying a P-track, which is an ultrafine particle counter. The other women are using a protocol for counting trucks so that you can see I didn't touch that. Somehow it moved, I swear. What volume of the traffic the trucks are, and then they can present that information at public hearings, and it's much more powerful when it comes from the grassroots and they've done the science themselves. This is a public hearing on one of the rail yard expansions. So I mentioned that those trucks were going to the Union Pacific rail yard. That's the green one on top, and that was the this is the school actually where the kids were playing. And now Burlington Northern Santa Fe. These are the two largest rail yards in the United States. BNSF wants to build another rail yard immediately south of the first rail yard. And you can see how it's, I'm only showing three schools, but there are actually eight schools and daycare centers in that area. 3 minutes. And this shows the proposed rail yard with the sensitive receptors, they're called now in the EIR language. So this gives you a sense of the proximity of that rail yard to the students. And my part of my concern is that the transportation bill isn't going to ever get into things like this and protecting people from that type of exposure. So we need public health advocates, and we need policies to protect children. The air pollution levels are already high there. Those residents and students are disproportionately exposed to cumulative impacts. And the best science is showing impacts when the children go to school near busy roads and freeways. And we have a public health imperative to protect kids, but when we think about buffer zones and walkable and livable communities, I don't think that we think about the lack of buffer zones and the lack of walkability in communities like this. We're more often thinking of some of the more affluent communities, I would say, that are not located near industry. And so I think we have to somehow bridge some of those gaps that we have. So the issues that we are having in Southern California are I want to go back one quick second because I just want to let you know that this is moving forward. The ports have proposed that. There's a hearing on November 10th on the draft environmental impact report, another hearing on the 16th. All kinds of groups in Southern California are coming together to try to raise issues about what the health impacts would be and the environmental justice impacts. But this project is moving forward with huge amounts of public relations money from both the ports and the rail yards behind it, the railroad companies behind it. This is not limited to Los Angeles. We are, you may not know that the Panama Canal is being expanded while we sit here in this room. They're working on it. And as a result of that, the East Coast ports are all in this competitive drive to make their port deeper so that these bigger ships that are coming through the Panama Canal can get into the Port of Charleston or the Port of Savannah, and that they can become the best and biggest and most economically viable port on the East Coast. So some of these things that I'm showing you about the West Coast will be coming to some port near you if you're from the from the East Coast. 1 minute. Because it's not just a California issue, but we probably have 15 different groups who in some way or another work on these port and goods movement issues in Southern California, we have pulled together, this is the third conference we had, sponsored by the Impact Project, the community academic collaborative that we have. And so moving forward together was our conference in 2010. A number of you in this room were there. And it was sponsored by the Impact Project, which stands for Trade, Health, and Environment Impact Project. And I'll give you the website because there's a lot of good information about this issue on the website. And the purpose of the conference was to share community research, share scientific research results, share strategies for community organizing and for informing policymakers, and to try to bring academics and community organizations from a lot of different cities together in the hopes of forming a national network that could communicate on these issues. And not just port communities, but communities where new rail yards are going in, or warehouse communities. There's a lot of interest in Chicago and warehouse workers, as there is in LA, and also planned expansions of freeways. And there are a lot of people who will be looking at expansion of freeways in the future. So the value of a national network would be to help change the discourse. There's a lot of public relations information out there about how these ports are the economic engines of our community, and there's very little information about the problems that they create in communities. But also the national network would help to connect organizing efforts so that we could learn from each other's wins and losses. Bob Gottlieb and I and Martha Matsuoka from Occidental College have been working on looking at the national landscape and what's happening in other places besides Los Angeles. And we have lists of organizations in a lot of different communities that are working on this issue. And you can find that report at www.theimpactproject.org. I would say that there are other organizations that we have started to provide some technical assistance to. The Mississippi Center for Justice, some of their representatives came to our Moving Forward conference, and they are facing not only the expansion of Gulfport, but also connector roads to move containers and freight more easily out of the Gulfport area on a connector road. So they're looking at a healthy future for their children and a great phrase that they have, putting people before ports. And the funding that we've had from NIEHS has allowed me to work on this, and from the Kresge Foundation has allowed some of us to come together and really be working on these broader issues that help to tie people together and learn from each other. I really can't continue on their port campaign. I think all of us in LA and Gulfport and around the country who are working on these issues, this is what we are hoping to prevent and hoping to improve the health of young children. And if you need more information, here's the address. And my disclaimer, oh, here are my funding sources, NIEHS, Kresge, California Wellness, and I declare no conflict of interest. Thank you.